that's the way your my body's feeling
right weird, now. Weird.
I think it's just the weather.
Could be. Welcome morning, to episode America. 6 of The Chase. Here we are again, ready to talk about God's word and what it means for our lives.
We're full of the joy of the Lord.
All right, on today's topic, we have not being a Christ-following hoarder.
Thanks for the introduction to me.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of sad. You normally do that.
Today we have Jacob.
It's here me.
As well.
You didn't have to do that. And,
thanks for joining me as always, Jacob.
Oh, I love it.
Sorry,
it's
for,
my
the,
favorite.
Sorry for the mess up.
No.
All right. So not being a Christian hoarder. I guess I'll go ahead and intro this a little bit just to, you know.
Go for it.
So basically what we're talking about when we're talking about not being a Christian hoarder or Christ-following hoarder is that a lot of times, you know, we're blessed with things. We're given things.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Who doesn't like blessings, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't? But it becomes a problem when we kind of keep it for ourselves, right? It becomes an issue when we're not funneling things through to other people and only being on the receiving end of things.
I mean, look at any of the tax collectors in the Bible. Sir, hold on to stuff themselves. Taking a little extra, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Skimming off the top.
Skimming off the top. Oh, whoa.
So yeah, God's blessings shouldn't pool. We should be a river so that God's blessings can flow through us, whether material possessions or our own relationship with him.
Yeah. I think God can be almost a genie in a bottle. With blessings, I believe that people take advantage of generosity. I mean, we were talking about Craig Groeschel's church and the offering buckets, and if you have a need, they believe that you can just reach in those offering buckets and take care of your need, whatever it may be, if you're struggling. And we were talking about how people might get greedy with that. Yeah. And, I mean, just in general, our sinful nature is to hold on to stuff.
Yeah. Were you? Sorry.
You're good. I wasn't
sure if you were still going with that.
I could. I mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean.
That's why we're here.
Being greedy with God's blessing in the same sense. I mean, God could bless us. Some people get blessed with so many gifts, and there's almost a selfish side to it and a prideful side to it, I believe. I mean, there's a sense of not being faithful in the sense of trusting God that there may be a singer that may be really shy, and they decide not to use that gift because they're shy or fearful of criticism or that they can't do it. And then there's a sense of people who know they're good and they almost become a performance thing on stage. Or I use music and performance and all that because that's where my heart is a lot. I love music.
Yeah.
And I think there's that sense of pridefulness and just kind of holding on to it. Or even the sense of, say, someone's been leading and heading a ministry for years, and they're supposed to be discipling a younger generation and someone under them to take place, but they're holding on to that because this ministry has been so successful. We've had so many lives saved here, but I'm not ready to give it up because I enjoy this almost like highlight of myself or what God is doing here, this image. And I think that can be dangerous and a very scary place. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand that, like letting go of something that you had a big part in.
You know, I mean, imagine doing 35 plus years of ministry work time, hours, sweat, tears, and then you feel God asking you to train someone to take over that. I mean, I'd be like, why? Well, am I not doing a good job? Like, right. am I going to die soon? Like, what is this, Lord?
But obviously, you know, God can call you somewhere else, and you know, maybe that's why. You just kind of never know.
I mean, look at it like this. I mean, if you're truly in it to serve the Lord, and you're truly in it to see the blessing go forward to others, that second that you start to think, why are you taking this from me? Why are you this? The blessing becomes about you.
Right.
You know, it's a me thing. It's not like, it's not a, how can I continue to serve the Lord? And if you pass it on to someone and the ministry continues and maybe even blast off more than you ever could ask or imagine, I mean, like, why would you not want that in your heart unless your heart's not in the right place, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say about the idea of obedience in that aspect of being not holding on to God's blessings that he has for you, not hoarding blessings or hoarding opportunity?
You know, it's God makes it a point throughout his word that we're supposed to, you know, give to those who need and, you know, bless others. And if we're ignoring that, obviously we're not being obedient. And there are times that God's going to tell you that you need to, maybe in certain instances or with certain things that God tells you to give up. For one example, my older brother, God told him to give away his PlayStation. I think it was PlayStation 2 at the time. And
he's telling a lot of men to give away their stations lately.
Yeah. I could probably stand to do the same thing, but won't go there just yet. Maybe God will tell me. Who knows? But the fact is,
I've been wanting a new Xbox. No, I'm kidding. I'll mess with you.
God told him to do that for a certain reason, right? But the fact is that was something precious to him. That was something that he probably wanted to hold on to.
Yeah, I mean, but PlayStation 2 was legit.
Yeah.
It was prime.
It was from what I remember of it, and it was a long time ago.
Side note, what is your greatest memory as a child?
As a
child?
Something
with a gaming system.
With a gaming system.
I threw that on you. I'll tell you mine. Why you think?
Yes, please.
Mine was when my dad got us an Atari system. Had one button and a joystick.
Yeah.
And you played Pong with it.
That was high-end stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was quality.
Oh, my goodness.
Quality graphics.
Yeah.
Graphic cards were great.
For sure. For some reason, I remember Mario 2 really well. I don't know why. I think it was so different from the first one that it just...
If you're a Mario fan and you watch this video, make sure to comment somewhere what your favorite Mario game was.
Yes.
All right, back to where we were.
All right. chasing some rabbits. Not that that's a bad thing.
It's rabbit season.
Where were we? I don't even remember.
Talking
where
about obedience and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So... Obeying God when it comes to giving stuff away, obviously it's not just for the person that you're giving it to, right? Because I mean,
yeah,
when you do it
and the PlayStation,
it,
we were also talking
about
that.
Yeah, PlayStation. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. So he obviously had to be obedient in order to do that, but I think from what I understand, and I don't mean to call him out or anything, but
he's been open with this before.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out.
So he was told to do that basically because it played a large part in his life. So
like priority over everything,
right?
Showering and eating,
kind of overtaking his relationship with God even.
Okay.
I think that was kind of why. And so obviously he, in a result of that, got blessed because he was obedient in giving something away that he clung on to.
Yeah. It just kind of reminds me, and we talked to Debbie about this, and just having like a closed hand on something. I mean, to receive a blessing, you have to have an open hand.
Ooh.
So, I mean, you just look at that. It's like you receive a blessing with open hands, and you can't keep, you can't hold something with it. I mean, you could probably carry logs or something like in your arms, right. And like a Little House on the Prairie or whatever older movie they do that in, stacking logs like that.
Right. Yeah.
Some people may do that nowadays. If you do, hats off to you. Just like, I don't know. I just kind of think of that. Like, I mean, there's going to be a time where, I mean, like if you were to go give someone something, you want to like if you were to try to take something out of my hand and I held on to it really tight, I mean, that'd be hard. But I mean, the second that you give that away and you open up your hand and they take it, I mean, that leaves you opportunity for God to put something new in your hands. And I love that analogy that he just gave me in my head right now, because I mean, like, so I'm holding on to this. Like, you want to try to take this cup from me? I'm like, yeah, you can't take it.
Right.
Oh, you can take it. Okay. And then God may hand me something else. Like, you know, right. You have rooms for something else in your life. Thank you. I need that. You know, and that's kind of the way I view the obedience and not like holding on to things. I think that we can be so materialistic, or we can be so closed gripped on things. I mean, it takes a lot of strength to hold on to something, and it's very exhausting, and it's a lot easier to let go. Even with like your kids, trusting the Lord with your kids, I think it can be so exhausting and tiring to be so worried and so close gripped on your kids. And you don't see a lot of freedom in your kids' lives. And my mom didn't see a lot of freedom in my life until she learned to let go and to trust God with my life.
Yeah.
And she was very, in a loving way, controlling and wondering, like wanted to know this, wanted to know that. And then she said, I knew in my life when she started saying, okay, God, my son is yours, because I felt that growth and freedom in my life. And even though, yes, my freedom took me into dark places, I still had to find who I was in Christ to get to where I'm at today. And I believe that it can be that way for parents. It can be that way for pastors that let go of things and like, I'm going to allow this person that's been discipled and growing and got his place here, and I'm gonna let it go, and I'm going to trust. And then, boom, that ministry blows up, and it's just like, wow. And you see so many times that the let go, it's so hard, and it's so that it could be anything. It could be that opportunity at work. Say you've been holding on. I've been here for 30 years, and I've been wanting to get that position, but there's someone that you know is supposed to get that because their family needs the money and their family needs the food, or whatever it may be, and you're just like, all right, God, it's yours. And then as soon as that happens, as soon as you're just like, you let go and let God, you know, in a way, he opens a door that you never thought. It may not be at that company.
Yep.
It may be you are an entrepreneur or a leader of your own business. You know, I think that the key part of not becoming a hoarder, in a sense, is the let go part of, I mean, if you were to hold on to a bat or a rope, I don't know, have you ever climbed a rope like with the knots in it?
Oh, yeah.
Or just with no knots and had to climb up it?
Right.
It's very exhausting on your hands. It's just, I mean, you become white knuckled and your hands are sore, and then it takes you a while to be able to operate correctly.
Right.
And I think sometimes in our lives, I'm just going to keep going with this. No, you get fine. Sometimes in your life, it may take you a minute after holding on to something for so long. It's going to take that time to let your hands become open again, because muscle memory doesn't let you down, and you may go back to holding on to it right before, like that rope. I mean, the rope has a while before it may go through your hands all the way. And that is where the Lord brought that conversation, yeah, this whole conversation. No,
that's good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever held on to something so tight, like for several minutes, like as tight as you could, and then try to open your hand after that? You literally can't open it again.
I did military training with the Marine Corps.
Ooh.
In training for the Marines, to go into the Marines, and then I couldn't go because I have asthma. I should have thought about that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you have asthma, you can't get into the military.
Hmm.
Or bad eyesight. It would not be good to go with bad eyesight.
Right.
I mean, you have to have 20/20 vision to be a pilot in the Air Force. I mean, you have to have perfect vision. Anyway, side note, because I tried all that. And we did pull-ups. It was 200 pull-ups. It was like, I think, 200 pull-ups. And then we had this giant heavy piece of wood, and we had to like grab hold of the rope and pull it, and just the whole day, just like you constantly using your grip strength and holding onto that pole and doing that, and then you like go to use your hands, you're like, and then you got blisters. I mean, you look at it, holding onto anything, you get blisters, you get arthritis, you know, all these bad things in your hands. And I think physics and our body, if that can tell us anything, how much more spiritually, because I know spiritual things have more of a weight than the physical side. You just spiritually can't hold on to things physically.
Yeah. You don't have a way to open your hands back up for.
Yeah. I think of like a little kid, you give them something and they don't want to let it go.
And I know what that's like.
I mean, imagine like a baby.
I imagine God
holding us as a baby. And you know, like a little baby when they have their binky, like usually when they're stuck on, they have like a pretty good strength on it. And you don't want to take it away from them, you know, because you love them and you don't want them to wake up or cry. But, you know, that it's not good for them. And then eventually that binky is not for them anymore. And I think God is that way at the same time. He's like, I gave this to you for a season.
Right.
And I only wanted it for that season. It's time for you to grow up or go beyond what this was. So I think it's the binky effect. I just came up with that. The binky effect.
Patent pending.
Yeah, patent pending. Don't go, right. Go try to beat me to that. Don't steal that from me.
Well, certainly, there have been examples in the Bible of people who gave a lot. You know, some gave all.
If
you, do you still have that one?
Yes.
All right. This
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
This is from Mark 12:41-44.
All right. 12:41. Okay. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put the money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. The one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. It's quadrants. Did I say that correctly? Quadrants. That's what it is for now. So he called his disciples to himself and said to him, as surely I say to you that this poor widow has given more than all those who have given to the treasure. For they all put in their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I love that about Jesus. He always, when no one's paying attention, he always stops everybody to be like, hey, look at this.
Well, she had a lot of faith, right? I mean,
yeah.
She basically gave everything she had.
In today's world, I mean, that's like equivalent of like 2 pennies a penny. And that's all she had.
Yeah.
That will get you something.
Maybe.
Back then, maybe.
But, yeah. I mean, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to her after that.
Yeah.
But, personally, I gotta believe that she went home and like there was like a huge blessing waiting for her or something, you know? It's just...
Yeah, I think that God leaves it up to our imagination and our own experience to speak to the fact that people who have been where she has are at can speak and be like, you know, I've been there, and I mean, personally, I can talk to it, talk to the subject, and as I watched my parents do that. When it didn't make sense on paper and they tithed and they were faithful. It's like my dad for a long time ate peanut butter, spoonfuls of peanut butter to make sure that my family ate, but we were continued in faithfulness.
Wow.
And that just, today I'll never forget that. I never forget that faithfulness and that understanding that out of the poverty we gave all, not to be boastful, but to to shout the Lord out in a way that he provided. I mean, I'm still here. I'm a healthy adult now, and that was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my dad is healthy, and now, years later, he's seen the faithfulness of God financially, which we'd never dreamt or imagined of. But I think it's just cool that he leaves that open for imagination. And like you said, it doesn't talk about what happened next, but you can only imagine the blessing that Jesus, I mean, look at Jesus' life. Everywhere he was blessing people, like, yeah, for their faithfulness. The lady that touched him in faith,
the hem of his garment,
yeah, or the Zacchaeus when in the tree, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he just gave it all. He's like, I want to give back double to the people I took. Yeah. You just look at all the encounters of Jesus, they all ended in a blessing, and that's the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Like, he doesn't want us. It's like, oh, okay, in the Bible with the manna, he said, don't hold on to the manna because I want to continually show you that I want to provide every single day.
Right.
It wasn't, they were hoarding the manna in a sense, and they were hoarding everything else that he was giving them, and then it was rotten. It rotted.
Right, yeah.
So when we begin to hoard things that weren't designed by God to be held onto, it starts to become something nasty in our lives.
Right.
It starts to become smelly, and people got sick and died. You know, it's just like, it's because it's just not good.
Yeah.
No good. Just no bueno por nada.
Your examples reminded me of another example, and I never really thought about it this way.
Example.
Yes.
Fist bump. For Hughes,
but
for those listening.
Yeah, fist bump. So the other thief beside Jesus when he was on the cross, I mean, he could have been hoarding his emotions, right? He could have been like, well, this
pride
stinks. I'm in a terrible place. I'm hanging on this cross. I'm dying. It's all about me, and this is terrible. But no, he was like, hey, other thief, leave this guy alone. He didn't do anything wrong. Like,
yeah, he gave Jesus
out. Right. He gave out when he had every right. Well, he basically had every right to think of himself, and because he was in that situation. But and that's what got him,
I mean,
saved, basically.
Imagine your one moment in life to not hold on to something was your last moment. I mean, that was that guy's. It was his last moment.
Yeah.
And he decided to not hold on and just to stop being prideful. He could have been up there and be like, agreeing, because the guy was taunting Jesus up on the cross. He's like, if you're God, why are we up here, buddy? Almost in a way. And he's like, dude, you know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
Like, remember me when you get there. Like, don't listen to this guy. Like,
right.
Like, remember me, man. Like, I know who you are. I know that you're up here for nothing.
Yeah.
And those guys are like, I'm up here for something.
Yep. It's pretty powerful.
It is. Thank you, Lord, for the cross.
Uh-huh.
I need it.
So one more kind of little anecdote that we had that, man,
I love this.
I feel like we don't see this enough in the church.
I don't feel like we see it.
Not our church necessarily, but like just as a whole.
Because it's so, I think that we should build on this anticipation for them. I feel like it's so unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just the idea of being so selfless.
Yeah. So what we're talking about actually is, I suppose we should.
We get to let you in on what we were talking about.
Yes. Acts 4:32-35.
Want me to read it?
Yeah. Yeah, please.
All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions, as their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy people among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need.
Wow. Nothing was hoarded. What is that?
W-O-W. Oh. Wow.
Haven't seen that one. That's new to me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sure your wife has. She's in the schooling system.
She probably has, yeah.
She's probably seen it all.
Some of that stuff she brings home, some of it she doesn't.
Well, yeah, I hope they don't bring it all home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But man, could you imagine if that was common practice in every church? Just, it blows my mind to think of where people would be.
It's one of those things, I believe that, it doesn't make sense. Even with tithing. God asks us to tithe when it doesn't make sense on paper. A lot of what God does doesn't make sense because you got to put your Jesus goggles on. You're like,
right.
Slap those things on. You're like, I mean, to God, this 100% makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
To Jesus, he's like, huh, this is, ultimately, it could always be more than God. If God were to do it, it'd be like, but in our eyes, mm-hmm. God's pleased because he's like, and this is what I designed Christians to be.
Right.
I just can't imagine the joy of, these people were given it all, but I could just picture them unified, joyful, just all these things. I'm trying to place myself in their shoes. Just the idea of paying for someone's gas or coffee kind of makes me cringe almost in a way, which is terrible. Oh man, losing money. Just the idea of losing money. It's like, man, I got bills and this person just bought 3 iced caramel macchiatos. That's $15.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and
it's a lot of money too.
Yeah. And it's just, and these people weren't even thinking about a caramel iced macchiato from Starbucks. They're thinking, I'm like, man, I got land. I got a house. These people need help. They got needs. Why would I? Yeah. Here we go. I don't even care if God's going to take care of my needs. And he's already, these people need help. And then it said, with great power that they testified of the Lord, the resurrection of the Lord. This is all happening. People are giving away stuff. And then this gave fuel to the apostles to minister. So you have people who don't have any needs. I'm just trying to picture this. People are like telling people about Jesus, and you have people selling the land left and right, and then probably the people that weren't saved that bought this land, and they're like, it's fueling the apostles to go reach them, and then those people ended up selling it again, and then you're just in this cycle of giving, and just you're like, it's so selfless. It's like, it's so unheard of. It's almost silly.
Yeah.
It's kind of tickles me silly. Tickle me silly. That's kind of funny.
Well, it's like we teach our children that, share everything. And then
that's not your toy. That's our toy.
Right. But somehow as an adult, maybe, I guess, sometimes we lose sight of that. I don't know.
Okay. This is me. As a teenager, I didn't understand the value of things. You think
most teenagers don't.
Yeah, no, no, you don't. I didn't understand the value of my parents buying me nice basketball shoes or nice shorts to play in and all these things. And then I get to college and I'm like having to buy these things on my own. I'm like, wow, this is expensive. Just even name great value stuff. Just getting the cheapest of the cheap from the store. And you're like, whoa. And then I think that once you kind of get in that mindset, it's you're like, you learn the value of things, and then you start to tie in I'm making this. I love Jeremy, my future father-in-law. He's always like, if I buy this, how much more will I have to work? if I spent $50 and I make this much an hour, that means I have to work these many hours to pay for that. So, you know, like that's kind of how I think. I mean, if I buy this and I make this much, so I have to work this many hours, or if I take off, like I did the math, like if I take off 2 hours of my day or I leave early 3 hours, I lose this much money in my paycheck. It's like, ooh. So I think that as adults, we can get so caught up in the logistics of things, in the, like, going back to it doesn't make sense. I think that even with science, you look at science doesn't make sense. Science has to be explained. There has to be an explanation for what is going on, a means to an end. And that's where I kind of, our fault as Christians and even in the world today is, like, they're doing things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how crazy some people thought they were.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, you're like, dude, you have some of the nicest land in the area, and in a few years, that land's profit and value, and for your future families. Because land, you look at it today, if you own land, it's passed down generationally if it's not sold. So you're not only selling a piece of land, you're selling your future heritage. Because right, you look at the prodigal son, when he asked for his profit, for his side of it, that's basically saying, I wish you were dead, because that when that father died, that's when it was distributed.
Right.
So this land was more than just land. It was inheritance.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine there might have been cattle on that land. There might have been animals on that land. There might have been a home on that land. And just so selfless, just without even blinking. And people have need.
Selling it and giving it to somebody. People who have need. It. Yeah.
Not even thinking about it. It blows me away. It just flabbergasts me.
Makes me.
I love that word.
Flabbergasted.
Flabbergast. Yeah. If you don't ever say that word, I encourage you to try using it in your day. Flabbergast. Do you say flabbergast a lot?
No.
You should. Flabbergast.
If I go around saying it, my wife will start getting concerned.
You should. You should start to say it until she starts to question it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that flabbergast.
That would be interesting.
Like Flubber?
Flubber.
Did you ever watch that movie?
I saw the newer one with the
guy from Jumanji?
Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, that whole thing just, it makes me feel a little ashamed of myself, to be honest. Because I hold on to stuff not as tight as I used to, but man, I...
Goes back to the open hand.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hoard. Give.
I mean, as a father and a husband, I mean, selling your home, how much faith does that take, right?
Well, yeah. I don't own my home, so I don't know what that would be like. But
okay.
If I did.
If you were to just get up and be like, whatever money that you'd be paying for rent, you no longer live there and you'd be paying it to someone who needed it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't know where I'm going next. Are offering your home. I mean, it doesn't have to be selling. I'd be like, hey, we're going to pay all your utilities and rent, and you could live here and my family and hire.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's just, I mean, I just got my own place, and I'm very blessed. And soon, when we get married, it'll be Lily and I's place. I mean, I just can't imagine, be like, oh, you don't have a place to live? You know what? We'll get out of here, and you have it, because I believe that you need it, or allowing that person to live. I mean, right. The Metzger showed this to me from the moment I moved here. Jeremy and Jennifer, I mean, they've gotten to know me a little bit by the point I moved in, but they knew little about me. They don't know my... They don't. I've talked to them about my past and I've conversated with them. I mean,
right.
And they just of course you can stay here, and they allowed me to live in their basement for months, and nice. I was very grateful.
That's awesome.
But as I was like, that kind of showed me what the Church of Acts was doing, just like without even hesitating, and if you know Jeremy and Jennifer at all, if it was anyone else, without even hesitating, of course you can stay here.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
I just. Get glimpses of that. I mean, you said it's kind of unheard of. Now that I revisit that thought, just like we get glimpses of it.
Yeah,
it's just unpracticed. Because you look at this as all believers were one in heart and one in mind.
Yeah.
You know, imagine.
Yeah.
If many other people start thinking the way we all should think, and generosity wise.
Yeah.
It blows me away.
Well, and it's important to not like broadcast that to the world, right? I mean,
no.
God's word, it says don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Yeah. So, I mean,
and look at Pharisees. Pharisees were praying out loud. It's like, don't pray out loud to be heard, but in quiet where the Lord rewards in,
right.
in secret.
Yeah.
You know, rewards openly. Yeah. Where the Lord meets you in private, he rewards openly.
Yep. Yep. That's good. Don't be a hoarder. Pay your blessings forward, and you'll always be willing to have open hands. All right, that will do it for this episode. This has been The Chase. Chase God and Chase His Word.
Stay cool. I think that we should start doing something cool, funny, like a fun fact.
A fun like, fact at the end?
Or at the beginning, just like,
oh.
We don't know what it is. I'm going to research something.